This is the G Podcast, where we focus on family, friends, finances, freedom, and our future, and everything else. This is the G Podcast, and today we got an extra special episode with two guests. We got Jalen and Nasia in the building. Let's give it up. We're getting right to it. Y'all, this is the G Podcast, and I told y'all what we focus on. We're going to get right to it today because we got some special guests in the building. Jalen, Nasia, thank you both for joining me on the podcast.
No problem.
Happy to be here.
Now, just full transparency, Jalen is my cousin. You see, he gets his handsome looks from this side of the family. And If I have to say, I'm going to start here with Nasia, because I know enough about Jalen. I'm going to get to some things, but I want to know a little bit more about you, Nasia. Where are you from?
I'm from Charles County, Maryland. I lived here basically my whole life. Like, I've moved a couple places, but this is basically where I've been my whole life. So
Charles County, Maryland. That's in the city. Is that near Waldorf? Is that that area?
Yeah, that's Waldorf.
That is Waldorf.
Okay, word. And Jalen, now, if I'm correct, that's also, you grew up in that same area, correct?
I did.
Are y'all the same age, or if not, what's the difference in ages?
Maybe you're older.
Yeah, you're older. You had some change.
Okay. Did y'all know each other before, say, college years? I'm curious, did you cross paths in Charles County?
Nope. Nah, we never did. Nah.
Never did.
Never seen her.
Nah. I knew she was around here just by like Instagram and stuff, but I had deemed her and stuff. Now we here.
Okay. So, okay. So Jalen, what high school did you go to?
I went to Wesley.
And Asia, what high school did you go to?
Lackey.
Okay. Are these rivals?
Not really. Not really, yeah.
They've like played against each other, but
I wouldn't say rival though.
Yeah, we just never crossed paths.
Okay. Nasia, talk to me a little bit about, how would you describe your upbringing in terms of family structure? Was it you, siblings? Who else was in the household?
I grew up with a very packed house. It was like 10 of us in a 4-bedroom, 1-bathroom. I was always sharing a room with somebody, watching somebody. So I already have like a lot of experience with kids, because just watching cousin after cousin that I've lived with. Our family is very tight though. We're very family oriented.
So you said 10 in a household. What, like, do you mind, like, what's the dynamics? You said cousins. How many siblings versus cousins? Because that is a house. That's a family full of folks.
We all live with my grandparents. So it was my grandparents, me, my older sister, my younger brother, my aunt, her 3 kids. My uncle would stay over there sometimes, most of the time. And then my mom would, like, come and go sometimes.
All right, word. So growing up in a household ran by grandparents, was it strict, or did you say you had freedoms growing up?
I would say they were harder on, like, my sister and my aunt more than they were on me and my brother. Like, older siblings get it the worst usually. But they're very chill now. Like, now they don't really... But they weren't that strict. They were Christians, so sometimes they did, like, force us to get up, go to church with them, but not every Sunday. Mm-hmm. But we still had, like, freedom, but there was still some, like, set rules in the house.
Okay, word. And so, Jalen, I know your household dynamics, but let's just make sure we share here with the group. So you got a sister, Faith, and you grew up with a two-parent household. Mm. I'm curious, just from being a big brother, that perspective, like, how do you just see yourself in that dynamic of the household, being like the eldest son of the house?
Yeah, like, based on, like, if my parents were strict or not, or...
Just anything, just being the oldest son, yeah. Just what was that experience like for you growing up?
The oldest person always get the worst of things. So my dad strict on me, like doing good in school, doing what I got to do. And you know, my mom was too. Basically just setting a good example for Faith, making sure that, you know, she comes up all right and everything like that. But other than that, yeah, they just wanted me to do what I had to do, set myself up for a good future and stuff.
And you spent a lot of time in that sports circuit in high school pursuing football. Before we get to like the post football, I'm curious if you could go back, tell your younger self, say senior year of high school, junior year, senior year, preparing to go to college, knowing all the work you put in and all the stuff you invested. If you could give that person any bit of advice or anything, like what would you tell them to do different?
I would say stay focused, because around probably like my freshman year of college and stuff, I kind of lost that focus. I wanted to do other things. I wasn't really doing what I had to do in order to get where I wanted to be.
Was it just the freshness of college, or why do you think that was?
I'd say probably just the freshness of college, having that freedom. You know, you're on your own, no parents telling you what to do and everything. So I would just say, yeah, just the freedom and the freshness of college.
Okay. And Nigel, what was your experience like after high school?
I did like a year and a half of community college, but it was online because of like COVID. That was when COVID was really heavy and we were inside. So the online classes were just not working for me. Like, it was hard to log in. It was hard to stay up, stay focused. Mm-hmm. Especially because I'm not like coming into the classroom, like all I'm doing is opening my laptop and sitting there. That didn't work, and I didn't like it, so I stopped going.
Okay. And had it been in person, do you feel like it would have played out different?
It probably would have, because I'm more of like a hands-on type of person. So me being in the classroom, I probably would have stuck with it. But since it was online, and I'm just sitting in bed early in the morning looking at a screen, like, I was not motivated to do what I had to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And were you in that same household environment trying to do the online stuff too, with all the family folks around you?
Oh, no. I was with my mom at the time. So it was really just me and her, and we were in a apartment, I want to say, in 2020. We were in an apartment, me and my mother. So. Okay. So, but that didn't help either, because it was usually just me at home by myself, which meant peace and quiet, which meant I'm more tired and I still don't want to do what I got to do. So,
okay, I can understand that. Now, I do think working from, especially as a student, trying to do stuff from the crib, it really took a lot of time to get used to that sort of learning style, even for myself, because it's one thing when you're in a structured environment, and it's another thing when you just at the kitchen table. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, there's no difference, no separation. It is difficult to get in that kind of flow. So that was in COVID. So hold up, what year did you graduate high school?
I graduated 2020.
2020.
So right when everything was like, I didn't even finish
walk across the stage.
No, I didn't finish my senior year. I didn't have like no prom, no proper graduation. Like, we stopped going to school in March. So
what? Like, that's crazy. All right. So you were graduating May, June of 2020, and then COVID hits right in your last semester of a high school student. How do you think that's impacted just how you've gone from where you were then to where you are today? Like, the fact that COVID hit right when it hit. Like, how do you think that's had an impact on you personally?
Honestly, I feel like if COVID didn't hit, like, my life would be completely different. Like, I probably would have went off to an actual college instead of trying to do like the online. I would have still been in school by now. I would have been graduating this year. So I don't even think I would have messed with Jalen either, because I would have been off at a different college somewhere else, just doing my own thing and not at home.
So if I'm hearing this correct, excuse me, you went that route as a means because of COVID. That played a huge impact on your decision in terms of post-high school when you went to a community school. That was like a decision that you made in large part because there was a pandemic going on and everything was remote.
Because I just felt like it was pointless to pay to go to, like, a big university when regardless we were going to be at home anyway. So why pay all that money to go to, like, a big university when I could just go to a community college? We're all going to be online anyway.
Very much so. Very much so. And, Jalen, you graduated 2019?
Yeah, 2019.
Lucky. And you redshirted your freshman year, correct?
I redshirted.
So when COVID hit for you, did you come back home or did you stay up there in school?
Nah, they made us all go home. I was doing the same thing she was doing, just online work. But that stuff, like, you can lose focus fast. Like, I didn't even want to do the work anymore at that point.
Yeah.
So I was off doing stuff that I shouldn't have been doing. So,
man, I'm going to tell you, even people who were in the office and then started working from home, it was a similar experience. Like, some folks could work from home and be productive, but a lot of them, like, could not do the right things in at home. Yeah. And it hurt them professionally because they couldn't figure out how to get it in order at home. So it is something about just knowing who you are and then setting yourself up to be the best version of yourself versus setting yourself up to hit those road bumps. You come back home. Am I starting to piece together? Did y'all meet during COVID?
No.
When did we start talking? Like 2022?
Mm, yeah, something like that.
He first reached out to me at like the beginning of 2022, but I wasn't really taking him serious.
How did he reach out? What was Jay talking about?
You know, the usual, they slide in your DMs like, oh, you so beautiful. Like, can I get your number? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay. But that didn't last long. It was like,
yeah, she wasn't even messing with me at first.
I wasn't. I was like, I kind of ghosted him, I'm not going to lie. Like, after a month. And then, like, almost a year later, he was back in my DM. He had replied to something I had posted on my story. And I was like, oh, Jalen, like, hey.
Yeah, now she trying to talk me up. Talking about, text me. I'm like, she said no.
What do you think changed? Like, what was it for you, Naja, just from the initial outreach to some time going by?
When he had first reached out to me, I was still dealing with, like, somebody else, kind of. But we were just on, like, a break type thing. And then once I left them alone for good, like, I had already left them alone for good for, like, a couple months. And that's when Jalen had came rolling back around. And I was like, let me see if he's still interested. Let me see if we can still text a little bit. And now here we are.
So, as young folks, if I just step back to my experience, right? At that age of young 20s, either finishing up school, that age, about to finish up school, and you trying to date young ladies, an expensive game to play, dating as a young man. And oftentimes, young ladies don't really have the patience to work with over time until things are in a place. Because I always say men tend to develop at a slower clip than women in the black community, in my opinion. And I think, well, let me ask this. Like, what type of stuff did y'all, like, what was courting like for y'all in the early stages? Like, for the new generation? Like, was it coffee at Starbucks, walks in the park? Like, what was the courting like, if at all? I'm just curious.
Honestly, he would just come to my house, like, after work, and we would just sit in his car and, and we would talk. So it was like that. But, like, we would sit in the car for, like, hours, like, until, like, 6 o'clock in the morning, and then he would finally go home. But, and then I finally let him take me on a date. He had took me to see the Christmas lights. After that, I was like, okay, so he's serious. So after that, because, you know, anybody can sit in the car with you and roll you up a little, you know, and sit there. But when he took me on a date, I was like, okay, so he's serious.
Okay. So a lot of just chilling, right? And when y'all are chilling, do y'all do like titles? Are y'all just talking? Are y'all talking to other people at this point? What's going on from that front?
When he first started coming over, I think we were both still like kind of talking to other people. I didn't start taking him serious really until he took me on that date. So
to see the Christmas lights.
I wouldn't let him come inside my house or nothing.
Oh, okay.
So we would just be sitting outside in the car for hours.
And how long did y'all do that before the date came? So y'all start linking up.
Almost a month. Okay. Or probably about a month, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. And how much the Christmas lights cost? How much that cost?
I don't even remember. Probably like for two tickets, probably like $80.
Oh, okay. Like so you had to spend probably a little like bread too to go there.
A little bit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Word. So you do the Christmas thing. What year? So this is Christmas of
2022.
So
last Christmas, that was 2023.
Yeah, this last Christmas. So almost a year ago, roughly. Okay. In Asia, I saw you for the first time shortly after that time period. Then no, it was
reunion.
It was it was before the reunion.
My grandmother's house. Yeah,
over at the General's. We came up, I think it was it for your dad's birthday or somebody had a surprise or something, or
I forgot too,
but y'all came through. It was like around March.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and that's when I first met, and it seemed like at that point y'all had already started to meet each other's families. I guess how did you introduce Jalen to, or who did you introduce Jalen to when you first brought him in home? Because were you staying with your mom at this point?
At this point, I'm living with my aunt on my dad's side. So I'm living with my dad's sister. But I was already like telling her little things about him. Like I would be like, oh, I'm about to go sit outside with that boy. Like I wouldn't really say his name. I would just be like, that boy. She would always be like, so when you gonna let him come inside? And I'd be like, no, not yet. So when he finally came in, I think it was my aunt and she had like a friend over, and they came in, we came in and they just went crazy. They was like, oh my God, he's so tall. He's so handsome. And I was like, okay.
Oh man, so. He is tall. I ain't gonna lie. That boy, he kept shooting up too. What is your final height? What is it at this point?
6'5".
I felt like you kept growing even once you got to college. Like you kept creeping up a little bit. Is that true, or were you 6'5"?
I might have. I probably went into college like 6'4", something like that. I probably grew like an inch, but that's it. I've been tall the whole time in college. So
all right, and I want to get a little background because where you are today. The circumstances that got us to this point, I'm hearing like just and hearing Nasia, what you shared about COVID, that impacting some of the decisions that you made at the time, which led you to a certain place, which gave this opportunity for y'all to cross paths. And you just never know what the universe is setting you up for and why. You just never really know. And you all have at that point when I met you around Marchish time, I think it was you, maybe another friend of yours was there too. It might have been like another friend at that time. But when y'all came over, what are y'all calling each other at this point? Are y'all like, this is my boyfriend, my girlfriend? Yeah. Like y'all are a couple type thing?
Yeah, by March we was already together, yeah.
Okay. So at the moment he took you to the lights, was it claim time from then, or he still had to put in a little bit more work?
He put in a little bit. It was maybe like 2 or 3 more weeks after that, and then he asked me to be his girlfriend the night that I had went out with his family for the first time, because he was about to go back to school after winter break. We all went out to Olive Garden, and then that was also my first time coming to his house. So we were just in here, and he was like, you gonna be my girlfriend? I was like,
so Jalen, talk to me about like asking that formally. Because I find it just funny from hearing from different people how you go from dating to being like more official. Some people ask the question like that. Some people just kind of understand it over time. Like, what made you ask her to be something more serious from your point of view?
So that time when we would just go over in my car for hours, I just really enjoyed my time with her. Just talking to her made us feel like we knew each other for like years before that. It felt really at home talking to her, just hanging out around her, being around like her aunt and her kids, and her coming to my house, seeing my mom and grandmother. So yeah, it just felt really at home. I knew like I want to go ahead and pursue this. So that's what made me ask.
Word. And when you say go ahead and pursue this, to you, what does that mean, pursue this? What are you pursuing?
Like her just being with her. By pursue, I meant like being my girlfriend, obviously, but that's all I meant.
I don't know what's crazy these days. I don't know.
Nah, yeah.
I have some questions coming here. I do want to ask for both of you. I do have questions related to what y'all's views are on long-term partnerships and things of that nature. But before we get there, so you the chill time, you felt at home. So y'all actually both enjoy each other's families, it seemed like.
Yeah.
That's, hey, man. Hey, man, that's a benefit, right? That is a huge benefit, yeah, where you actually enjoy the person's family that you're with. So that's dope to hear. Was there any sort of like pushback from a parental or guardian standpoint where they were kind of looking at either one of y'all like, what's going on?
Not for me.
My people was for it.
And my family fell in love with Jalen the first time they met him. Like, he's some little angel boy. So, and they still treat him like an angel boy. It's always them texting me like, you still being nice to Jalen? You talked to Jalen today? Has Jalen ate today? Like, what about me? All about Jalen. So, they love him.
Word. Word. That's a nice, like I said, that's a luxury. So, Enjoy that, because everybody doesn't have that luxury of enjoying other people's families in that way. Your boyfriend, girlfriend. All right. So we got to get right to it. All right. Because you two are expecting in July, correct?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
And not one, but two. We just got to shout that out.
What?
New additions to the family, expecting twins in July, and we are at what ages currently today?
22.
22 and 21. So still got a lot of runway in front of us, still growing into our adult selves at this time, and yet this is a part of the equation in terms of you two becoming what I would call like adults, if you will. Obviously, we know how children are born. So my question is, when did you start to suspect that you may be pregnant? Like, before you actually got a test result, was there any sort of sign other than the obvious being late, that sort? Was there anything that you just felt before you knew for sure?
I'm gonna be honest, the one thing that gave it away was I could not smoke anymore. We would be sitting in the car and we would be smoking, and I would just feel like I have to throw up, and I'd be like, this is not normal. And I'd be like, here, Jalen, like, you could do what you do with that. I'll just sit here with you. And I thought I was just dehydrated, so I was drinking like the Gatorades and stuff like that, and none of that was working, and I couldn't smoke without wanting to throw up. So then I was like, let me just take this test to see what's going on, because I had a trip coming up to Las Vegas, and I was like, I don't want to do too much in Vegas. And of course, like 2 days before I had to leave for my trip, I had the positive test. So I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
And you did like a take-home test, like
I did like the regular box test you get from the store, and I was like, well, I'm gonna just watch my friends do their thing in Vegas. I'm gonna be here for the support, and I was like, but I'm definitely going to the doctor when I come home. And then we went to the doctor when I got home, and they were like, yep, you're pregnant. And I was like, oh, okay, perfect timing.
Perfect timing. Before you took that test, did Jalen know you were going to take that test?
No. I don't think so. No. I had just bought it one day when I got off work. I was like, let me just buy this test real quick. Because I wasn't thinking nothing. Like, I didn't think it was going to be positive. I was like, let me just buy this test just to buy it. And it ended up being positive. And I was like, oh.
Jalen, you said you didn't know. So did you have any idea that was a suspicion in her mind that potentially she could have been pregnant before she went and got the test?
Nah, I didn't even think about it. It just popped up. And I was like, oh, damn, for real? Like, she told me. Yeah, like, I'm chilling playing 2K. She told me, like, you know, I start getting the hat. I can't feel my knees no more and stuff. I'm like,
whatever.
Oh, man. So when you get that positive result, who do you tell first, and what's that initial just moment of reality like for yourself?
Well, like I said, I didn't think it was going to be positive, so I wasn't even worried about it. Like, I took it, sat it down, and went and did other stuff, and I was like, oh, snap, like, I took that test, like, let me go look at it. And it was positive. And the first thing I did was I called my sister, and I was like, you need to look at this. And she was like, you need to call our mom. So I had texted my mom. I was like, you're going to be mad at me if I tell you that I'm pregnant. And she was like, no, you grown. And I was like, well, I'm pregnant. And she was like, that helped a lot because she wasn't mad. It wasn't really nothing for me to stress over after that, because if mom not mad, then I'm good. So she was just like, can't wait to be a grandma. That's literally what she said.
Okay, so you had family support from the start. Once the news broke, there was no ill will or negative feelings thrown towards you about the whole situation. It was embraced with open arms.
Yeah.
And then how did you tell Jay? Was it a text, a call, face to face? How did you break the news to him?
Did I call you or did I text? I might have texted you because I was scared. I was trying to wait because I knew he was going to be coming over my house that night, but I could not wait. And I knew he was on the game, so he was going to be a couple hours till he came over. I was like, I cannot hold this in for a couple hours. So I had just texted him and I was like, hey, I'm pregnant. And he had called me and he was like, are you okay? And I was like, he was like, are you for real? And I was like, yeah. He was like, okay. And he came over and he was just like, are you okay? And I was like, it was just a normal night after that. I think we was both kind of scared to talk about it, so we just kind of like brushed it off like it was normal.
I didn't even want to play the game no more when I heard that. I was like, man, let me just go over there. handle this situation and find out a way to do it.
So Jalen, so when you get that news, you immediately start just feeling the feelings, processing. Did you tell anybody yet?
Nah, I didn't tell nobody till like the third day.
Okay.
Something like that.
Who was the first person you told?
I don't even remember. It was one of my friends, though.
Okay.
I had called down. I want to say my friends, either Nell or D. It was one of them. I don't know. But I called one of them. You know, they was like, oh, for real? You about to be a dad? But they got their jokes and stuff. You about to be a father. And I was just making jokes and everything, so.
What about family standpoint? Did you tell your sister, your mom, your dad? Who did you tell that?
Yeah, I waited like probably like 5 days till I told my mom. And then
Your mom was the first one?
Shannon first. Oh, no, you told Shannon.
Oh, you told Shannon?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, Lord, she done probably told everybody by the time you got it to.
Probably. But I didn't want to be the one to say it. That's all.
Uh-huh.
But I knew that was going to be easy. She wasn't going to care.
Yeah.
So then I went and told my mom. I thought she was going to.
I told his mom.
No, she ain't tell. I told her.
He dragged. No. We.
I did drag it a little bit. I was giving her the hints and stuff.
He lying right now because he dragged us into his mother's room and then he going to stand there in silence and make it all awkward. She like, are you okay? Like, what's wrong? And he just do this. He just pointed at me and like, so I had to
That's
tell
not
her.
True. That's not yes, true.
So what happened then?
So what happened, I'm going to tell it because you're not telling it right. So what happened was I walked into the room. Like, I was like pointing at her and stuff. But then I was like this. And I'm pretty sure she got it from that point. But then she said, nah, I'm pregnant. And then I was going, I thought she was going to get in my a little bit and stuff. But no, she was actually pretty cool about it. I'm talking about, like, I can't wait to buy like diapers and make a blanket and stuff like that. But that, so that was cool.
How old, I'm trying to think, because I remember, obviously, I remember your parents before you were born. I remember going to their graduation from college and everything. And I remember when they were shacking up and nobody knew that they was married when they were shacking up at the time. Are you about the same age as they were when they had you? Or do you know how old they were when they had you?
I think my mom was like 26, I would say.
Was it 26?
Something like that. It wasn't the age I'm at now.
For some reason, I felt like it was like right after undergrad, but I guess I'm off on that one. So
yeah, I don't know for sure.
You told moms, and she took it. She took it how she took it. What was face response?
Oh, face response. What did she say? I think she was trying to joke around too. Yeah. you about to be a father? I'm like, yeah, I am.
And was your pops the last one you told?
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
And, okay, so why was he the last one, and how did you end up delivering the news?
I think he had called me, actually, and then while I had him on the phone, I was just like, what, let me just go ahead and tell him. I was like, Asia pregnant, and at first he thought I was playing, but I was like, no, like, I'm for real. And he's like, then he gave me like a two-hour-long lecture on, you know, what he learned when he had me and marriage and stuff, so he gave me like a two-hour-long lecture. Word. That's what I was trying to stay away from. But it was actually a good lesson, though. I can't even lie.
The thing about parents, man, is, and I'm sure you experience this as you get older, but once you get to like this adult now, at this point, no need to sugarcoat for either one of y'all. Like, we here now. When your parents start opening up to you, not as a peer, but as an adult, it's a different appreciation for the parent, from my experience. When you actually get to have those real conversations, and then you kind of take a step back and be like, okay, like, you, I start thinking back, like, when I was younger, like, I know when my mom was my age at this point. You see what I'm saying? I can remember when she was my current age. So I start thinking about, like, oh, I just start thinking about how I was perceiving her, perceiving the world, perceiving things. And then you get to talk to her now that she's continuing to do what she does, and she's like telling me from her perspective what she went through at certain points. It's all valuable game, in my opinion. So I would say one thing, even though you won't always agree, like for the both of y'all, like, be a sponge and take all that stuff in. It's just information, it's just perspectives. And they say wise people learn from other people's mistakes versus bumping your own head. So nobody's experience is going to be the same, but it doesn't hurt to listen to what other people have experienced and gone through, especially when it's familial with parents, because we often repeat the same cycles as our parents. It is something that happens very often. The family's aware as young folks. I got to admit, and I don't say this to be like to brag, because it's not nothing to brag about. I kept me some abortion money on the side growing up. Okay. This was a stash of cash that if something were to happen, I knew I at least had this. Now, as an adult, I'm fortunate that I have never had to use that stash. And my views, say, on what that means today versus what I thought as a young person, right, has changed. But I got to imagine that, just given the reality of the situation, was this ever a conversation between the two of you in terms of if we should or shouldn't keep it?
Yes.
Yeah, she had asked me one time.
Because I didn't want to, like, I knew I wanted to keep it, but I also wasn't sure about his thoughts on it, because, like, he wouldn't really speak about it, really. I think because he was still kind of nervous or whatever, and I didn't want to be like the person holding him back, like forcing him to have a baby. Like, if you don't want a baby, then I'm not going to keep it, because at that point it's just going to be me raising the baby when it get here. Like, I just feel like for pregnant women, like, if the man say he doesn't want the baby and then the baby gets here and you're surprised why he's not taking care of the baby, like, it's because he said he didn't want the baby. So I wanted to make sure that wasn't going to happen to me. And I'm like, are you sure you want to do this? Like, I'm okay if you don't want to, because I know you just graduated, like you about to start doing your career and stuff like that. So I just want to make sure I wasn't holding him back from doing whatever he wanted to do, because regardless, it was going to be both of us in it together. So I would rather make a decision for both of us than just for myself. So I did ask him, like, and made sure 100% that he wanted to keep the baby.
Why? Like, for you, Jalen, why did you make the decision to move forward versus not?
It was more, I just felt like it was something we could do. I wouldn't say, like, I wasn't ready for it, even though, like, nobody's really ready for it to take on that responsibility. But just us being who we are and how we are together, I just felt like it was something we could do together. And I feel like we would do a good job. So I was like, well, why not? I knew there's someone I wanted to be with for forever. So why not?
Okay. And do y'all still call each other boyfriend and girlfriend today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me ask, Deja, you grew up in a household with grandparents, but you also said that you were somewhat with your mom at times and not. Can I ask, yeah, what was the circumstances that took you to your grandparents and kind of had you in between?
So my mom, when she had my older sister, she was 17, and then she had me at 22, and then she had my brother 10 months later. Me and my brother are Irish twins, so we are only 10 months apart. And she was still young, so she wasn't, like, in that parenting mindset. Like, she still wanted to go out and party and be with her, like, boyfriends and stuff like that. So my grandparents were just like, we'll keep the kids because you not ready to settle down. You want to go off and do whatever you doing and be with whoever you with. So that's why I didn't live with my mom until maybe, like, I lived with my mom for like 4 months in third grade, and we went back to our grandparents' house because it didn't work out. And then I didn't live with her again until my junior year. That was like for a year, didn't work out, went back with my grandparents. It was really just that, like, I think my mom just wasn't ready to be a mom. Like, she was still kind of in that young mindset, wanting to do her own thing. And my grandparents were like, you're not about to keep doing the kids like this. Like, so they just kept us.
How do you think that reality for you, in terms of what you experienced and how you grew up, how do you think that is shaping your approach to your own version of motherhood?
I think that's a part of the reason why I was so willing to, like, I was so for keeping the kids, because I was just like, I'm not gonna raise my kids like how my mom raised us. Like, I'm gonna, even though I'm young, like, I'm gonna be there. I'm not just gonna be out ripping and running. Like, I know the responsibilities that come with being a young mom. Like, there are days I'm gonna wanna go out with my friends and do this and do that, but I got responsibilities. So I just want to be a present mom, because my mom wasn't a present mom until, like, after I graduated high school. Like, our relationship wasn't good until after I graduated. So I just knew I didn't wanna be that type of mom.
And do you have a relationship with your father?
I did. He passed away when I was in fourth grade.
Okay, so
that was also like another thing, like, where we didn't have him, and then she was out doing her own thing. And I think, like, literally, like, the first time I ever really hugged my mom was at my dad's funeral. Like, one of the very first times I hugged her was at his funeral. And that was like one of the little times she was actually there for us. Like, she had lived with our grandparents with us for like 5-6 months after that. And then she was back out doing her own thing. So I was just like, and that's another reason why I had asked Jalen, like, are you sure you want to do this? Because I want both parents in my kids' life, because I know how it is to just have literally no parents or one parent barely being there. So. And I think that's another thing, like, why are we like each other's family so much? Because we kind of grew up different. Like, he grew up with two parents, and I grew up with, like, a on and off one parent. So I just want to make sure my kids have both parents present.
Of course. It's I think it's natural for all of us to perceive how we might be as either in a marriage or parents, like how we're going to be our adult selves based off of how we see the adults we are around growing up, right? We kind of look and shape and say, I ain't rocking with you. I might want to try and be like you and mm-hmm. blend it together. And I appreciate you just sharing what you shared, because I do understand that these are personal feelings, stories, but it's definitely a huge impact on what you're about to do next. I mm-hmm. having not had these conversations with you, I appreciate you just opening up and sharing this. It's helped me get to know you a lot more. And then Jalen, from your perspective, what my question to you is seeing like when parents go through a separation, the kids are often the fly on the wall and they have their own perspective of what's going on. What my question is because you've experienced that with your parents separating, how has that maybe impacted how you're thinking about being a father in this time period here as you prepare?
I actually don't even have an answer for you, because I didn't even know till they said it. We're getting divorced. I was like, oh, okay.
You didn't have any clue, but, for real?
I had no clue. It would be like a whole bunch of, like, it was a toxic household, I'll say that. But as far as like them actually going through with the divorce, like making it happen for real, I didn't know. I didn't know about that till they actually said it. Like, they pulled me and Faith downstairs. They're like, oh, we're getting divorced. I was like, but as far as that's for me, I would just say just not showing them all the negative, like, things that we go through. Because it was at one point for, like, maybe, like, I'd say about, like, 2 or 3 years, it was just arguing every day. Like, you just couldn't get away from it. I would just say just trying to work things out between me and Asia. Right, we're obviously going to argue. Like, we'll have those days. But just trying to make everything work and just things like that.
And what about long-term marriage, like unions, marriages? Do you two believe in the institution of marriage? Do you not believe in that? Like, what's the pulse on marriage?
My mom is just now getting married. Like, she's about to be 44 this year. She's getting married in May. This will be her first time getting married. And I was just like, I don't want to be 44 just getting married. So I know I want to get married, not soon, but at the right time.
Whenever the time comes.
Yeah.
What would the time, like, just from y'all's point of view, like, well, let me ask you, Jalen, what do you think you're waiting for to make that move?
I'm not really waiting on nothing, for real. Just the fact that we got so much going on right now as far as, like, the kids go. And I know, like, in a wedding, it's a lot of planning, a lot of stress, obviously. I just feel like I wouldn't say, like, the last thing we need, like, in a bad way, but the last thing we need, like, to think about right now.
Word.
No, I just feel like we should work to, how are we going to do this with the kids and do that with the kids and stuff like that.
One thing at a time.
And weddings, or marriages, don't require weddings. Just to throw that out there, they don't require
weddings. I mean, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
like me and Carmika, we got married on a Mexican border with two Mexican witnesses in a courthouse, and then we had the wedding like a year later.
You was out of Mexico, wasn't you?
Yeah. Wait, bit. did you go to the wedding?
No, I didn't go.
I don't think you went to the wedding.
You ain't invited me.
Nah, you would have got invited, but I don't think nobody came to my Wait, did Larry come? I don't even know if Larry.
He went.
No, Leland came. Mutt came. No, so no, Grandma came. So a few folks did come, but I don't think O'Neill and Heidi came. But
no, I don't think they went.
But I just say that to say a union between two people does not require an extravagant production to bring it together. Just throw that out there. But as you all are starting to prepare, like, I know there's got to be a theme of overwhelmed, to say the least, in the day to day. Like, how are y'all just coping and processing all of these feelings in a healthy way, especially now that you can't do certain things that you were maybe accustomed to doing?
We talk about our feelings a lot, though. Like, if especially Jalen, like, if he got something on his mind, he'll talk about it. He usually like to talk about it when I'm ready to go to bed, but he'll talk about it. And because we're not really like scared to tell each other how we feel. So just us communicating how we feel about certain things and understanding each other, like, I know that he's overwhelmed, and I know how like men are. Like, he feel like he gotta. When I first told him that I was pregnant, he was definitely more stressed than I was. Like, he was the one that was pregnant, because he was like, oh, how am I gonna do this? How am I gonna take care of it? Like, that's his thing, is money. Like, I need to make some money. And I'm just thinking, like, I need to keep the babies healthy. So it's just like, I don't know. We just talk. We talk a lot about how we feeling, and we kind of console each other and, you know, just reassure each other that everything is going to work out in our favor. Everything's going to be fine as long as we doing stuff together.
No, that's great to hear. I actually did a podcast episode with this lady named Latoya Chiton. She's a licensed relationship and sex therapist. I apologize if I f***ed up the proper term. But she's in that realm of sex therapy, relationship therapy. And on that episode, I asked her, like, what are, like, if you could boil down the most common things that lead to healthy long-term partnerships and communication and how you deal with conflict with one another was two of the biggest pieces that lead to sustainability over time. So hearing y'all have that open communication is great to hear. Keep it open, right? Because you're not gonna always like what each other has to say, but you gotta be able to have that room to get it out. So keep that communication open. And in the terms of dealing with conflicts, like, what would you say is the biggest conflict y'all had since being in a relationship?
I would say it's probably me. Like, I did have a hard time expressing how I feel. Like, if something was bothering me and he would be trying to get out of me, I just shut down. Like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to communicate about it. And that's also like part of how I grew up with like my mom and stuff. So that's kind of on me. But I did go to therapy and all that. So I was trying to open up more. I'm trying to be able to tell you how I feel about certain things without shutting down or without getting angry. But that was really like our one main conflict, was me not trying to communicate at first how I was feeling.
It got a lot better though. So she gave me pointers on, like, if you say this, like what I tend to do, like what I used to do, like, she wouldn't say anything. I'd be like I would just be getting on her, like, why are you not trying to say it? Like, why are you not trying to be an adult? Or just stuff along that line. I realized that like when you're in a relationship, like, you can't do that. You gotta give her like the open floor to go ahead and say what she got to say, instead of like just trying to force it out of her.
Mm-hmm. You got to give people they time to process what they need to process. Yeah. And like, I gotta admit, I'm surprised to hear that Jalen, you're this open book of feelings and communication. I have to say, I'm surprised, because when we're in family settings and everything, you always pretty much a cool, laid back, not the loudest one in the room. I don't really hear you, you know, voice a lot of your emotions or feelings in certain family settings. Would you say that's fair to say?
That's more than fair, actually.
Is that because you're the young bull, or like you on the younger end, and you feel a bunch of old in the room and you don't want to speak, or like, what, like, why do you think that is? Because it's you clearly got something in you that likes to communicate.
It just don't be nothing to say. I don't know what you want me to say. It's just, I don't got nothing on my mind. I'm enjoying the moment with y'all. I'm laughing with y'all and everything. So I ain't really had nothing to say, like, emotion wise.
Word. Have y'all thought about stuff, names, and like, have you already started planning ahead? Names, clothes, like all this stuff that's like, as it starts to feel more real, like, where are we in terms of looking ahead and like mapping stuff out realistically?
We just kind of got names figured out. We still a little rocky on the middle names, but we definitely got the first names. I started doing stuff for my registry, which is actually a lot harder than I thought, because there's so many different brands, many different products, and that is one overwhelming thing. But other than that, we've been planning our future pretty good. I'll definitely be in the store looking at the baby clothes. It's time for me to start getting in there, but I don't want to spend all my money. That's another thing. We trying to budget it out and stuff. Yeah. So
we already got a couple things from the reveal the other day. So we got a pair of pajamas, I think. Something like that, right?
We got some pajamas. And for the gender reveal, I did like a diaper raffle. So I was like, if you think it's two boys, bring two boxes of diapers. If you think it's two girls, bring two things of wipes. Or if you think it's one of each, bring. So we got a lot of diapers and wipes already.
Nice.
So we should be good with that for a good little second.
Yeah.
But everything else should be coming from the registry and the baby shower.
This question is for each of you. Like, what's been the biggest surprise about this process thus far? I know it's overwhelming and everything, but given that you're going further into the pregnancy,
mm-hmm.
what's just been the biggest surprise for each of you? You didn't expect something to happen.
Biggest surprise? I don't even know.
How fast it's going.
Fast it's going?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm already basically halfway there. So, and just seeing how fast they're growing and just like literally like waking up and realizing like, oh my God, I'm about to be a mom. Like, oh my goodness, I'm growing humans inside of me. Like, that's really been the most surprising thing for me. Like, just still coming to that realization every day that I'm about to be a mom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought I would be like over it by now, but still, every day when I learn something new about them or when I get like new pictures of them from the ultrasound, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is real.
And like, Jalen, you already hinted about the money thing, but just talk to me about you're about to be this father. You're still in the early stages of your professional life. For yourself, how are you, I don't want to say managing that stress, but how are you realistically looking at what you're going to have to do, maybe different or the same, given the circumstances that are coming here? Like, what, how do you see this changing maybe your approach to how you look at work or professional career? Like, is this having any impact on any of that?
Yeah, just every time I'm about to do something, I was just thinking about, oh, like, what would Nasia feel about this? Or what would the kids, how would the kids react on that? Things like that. So just putting them first before I do anything. Other than that, I'll just tell myself, like, everything will be okay. You'll be a good father. And yeah, that's it. Just thinking of them before I do anything.
Mm-hmm. And then in terms of just like the difficulties, what do you think, just for each of you, has been the most difficult piece to this whole thing? With so many different moving pieces with work, friends, the relationship between you two, like the pregnancy, and it's going to impact a lot of things. But what do you just each have found to be the most difficult thing to kind of manage and deal with here in the short term?
Probably whenever she has that feeling of being nauseous and just throwing up out of nowhere, things like that. But other than that, we really talk everything out. We let each other know everything. There's nothing. I don't really find anything. How about you?
I think my most challenging thing is just trying to stay stress-free and positive, because I do currently take antidepressants, but they want me to like start kind of like weaning off of them by the time the babies come. So I'm kind of nervous about that because I don't know how I'm gonna act without them, especially like during postpartum, because that's when it hits the mothers the worst. So my biggest struggle is trying to stay in like a positive, relaxed mindset and just trying to figure out different outlets for myself for like my stress, so that I don't have to keep relying on the pills.
Wow. Yeah, this is it's definitely, look, man. When I heard the news, I forgot who I heard from, but once one family member get a piece of news, it starts shooting
everybody
through. It starts shooting through, and the texts start coming through.
Especially over on our side, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So once my mom and her siblings start talking, we gonna figure out what's going on. When I heard the news, man, that's why I reached out to you. It's like, family's definitely praying for y'all, wishing y'all nothing but the best. Healthy pregnancy, and just you're gonna have a lot of support. It looks like on both sides, but I know at minimum you're gonna have a lot of support over on this side for what you guys are doing. And I appreciate y'all just hopping on here to kind of talk about this arc, because it's not uncommon. You know what I'm saying? It's not an uncommon story. It's something that happens all the time when young adults start doing what adults do. And I respect that y'all are approaching it the way that you're approaching it, like pretty mature. I have to say, I didn't know what to anticipate, but no, y'all seem to be mature young people approaching this with a certain intent. And I'm definitely, again, wishing nothing y'all to nothing but the best here. And as we get to kind of close, or start to close things out, do y'all have any thoughts on a separation of duties, stuff that a mother should be doing versus what a father should be doing, roles, if you will? Do y'all fall into that? Like, well, I expect the mom to be doing most of this because she's the mom, and I expect the dad to be doing most of this because he's the dad, or
not really?
Yeah, I'm
we
open
both
to
do whatever we can. Really. So I've never really liked that person for the roles.
Like, I'm already practicing to cook. But most people would say that that's the mother's role, but I already done made like 3 meals already. There's zero. So
man, that's not really the woman's role. I mean,
I'm saying most people would think.
Yeah,
that.
Some people
most
would people say that. That. Some people would say, I'm not sure if your granddad was cooking all the time back in the day. Like, grandma didn't really cook like that. Granddad cooked all the food. And it's funny because I'm seeing you here, Jay, but just in life, if somebody says your name, the first memory of you that comes to mind at grandma and granddad's house on the kitchen table, you had that, your baby picture was on the kitchen table. Do you remember that, or do you even know what I'm talking about?
I don't even know what she's talking about.
And I'm talking about my granddad, not the general Larry. Do you remember that house? Do you remember that house?
I remember
at all?
The house. Okay. Yeah, I remember the house. I just don't remember like every single thing. It was a long time ago.
Word. It's just crazy, man. It's crazy from a family perspective, seeing somebody that you've seen be born and now be a young man becoming a father. Like, that's just an interesting just thing to see, man. And what I want to ask here is, you did the football approach heavy. When it comes to exposing children to different sports, activities, arts, things of that nature, how do you personally feel about the amount of time that you had to spend in that sport growing up to prepare you for, like, ultimately a free education? But, like, how do you personally feel about that experience? And is that something that you would try to push your kids to, do you think?
I wouldn't necessarily say push them. I'll just, if that's something they want to do, like, that's cool. I'll help them, no problem, whatever, because I've had the experience, so I can tell them, oh, do this, don't do that, and maybe try this, and just things like that. Maybe give them some pointers on what I should have done as I was trying to expose myself to other schools and things. But if that's something they want to do, like, I'll definitely help them with that. If they want to do something else, I'll help them with that too.
And would you let them play football?
Yeah, why not?
Some people, just because of the violence of the sport, the reality of what it is, some people are like, I don't want my kids playing football, even football players.
Football's softer now a little bit, so it's not like it was like way back when, but I'd let them play. I'd really let them play anything. If they wanted to like box or something, I'd sign them up and see what happens. You never know what could happen. So if that's something they want to do, I'm not going to block their dreams off and say no and things like that. So,
all right. So I don't really have much else to ask. I guess, let's see, we said July. So this is, we're recording this in February. So, oh, wow. You said about halfway through. So 4.5 months. So look, I know at worst case, I'm going to be circling back to see what's going on closer to the date. But in the short term, man, if there's anybody, cause I don't know when I'm going to actually put this out, but I would imagine it's going to come out around that time period. If I'm thinking ahead, it's going to come out around that time period, if not a little bit sooner. I guess what my last sort of question is like, if you've got anything to just say openly to family and friends as just an honest call to action, if you will. I know we would assume that y'all are overwhelmed, stressed, things of that nature. But I want to give you just an opportunity to say, look, family, friends, if you're thinking about us, I want you to consider maybe this or this, and this would be beneficial to us. Like, what can we do to help y'all as you mature through this process?
Jalen, you want to say something first?
Okay. You can go ahead.
I think the one thing I would say is, like, I don't want to sound like selfish or anything, but when you're actually pregnant, like, you know, people are worried about you more than the babies. Like, they're worried about your well-being, like the parents and stuff. And then once the babies come, it's all about the babies. So I kind of just want to say, like, don't forget about the parents. Like, we going through it still too. Like, we still need some love and support. Like, instead of saying, like, oh, I'm coming to see the babies, like, maybe you say, like, I'm coming to check on y'all and see the babies. You get what I'm saying? Like, don't forget about us just because the babies are here. We still going to need some love and support and some help. So that's all I got.
Okay.
I'll say just the support. Like, you want to take them for a little bit so we here can go act like kids or something. I don't know. But, no, like, yeah, help me out. So, I don't know.
Yeah. That is one of the advantages of being around so much family, though, man. You should have plenty of opportunities to drop them off for a day or two here or there with folks who would definitely love to spend that time, man. Look, I appreciate y'all joining. Y'all both have been very open and honest. Before we just close out, is there anything that maybe you may have wanted to say or anything that we didn't get to that you wanted to maybe talk about here before we close out?
Well, I would say it was nice joining your podcast. It's my first time being on a podcast. I was kind of a little skeptical about coming on here, but it was actually nice. It was a nice experience.
Word.
And I enjoyed it.
I appreciate that. Tell me why you were skeptical.
Just like opening up, especially like since it's going to be out for the public, like just letting people in on my vulnerability, especially because I've had such a hard time doing it in the past to come on here. And then especially with a family member, oh my God, Jalen's cousin is about to know everything about me. Like, I don't know how he's going to feel about me after this. Like, how, so it's one of those things, but I did enjoy my experience and the talks we had. So
I'm glad. So that means maybe I can get a little bit of likability after f***ing up your name all those times. I can maybe start to get back on the good side.
Yeah.
No, that's a cool podcast, though. I appreciate you having us on.
Of course, man. And Naja, just to be honest, like, what you just referenced is one of the reasons why I want to do this podcast. I think social media has tricked us into, it's normalized stuff that isn't real. Because of that normalization, it makes it more difficult to just express what's real and honest when what you're going through doesn't match what we see on TV or on screens. In my opinion, which was one of the things I was happy to hear about the openness, like, that vulnerability is a superpower. And if we all, that comfort to tap into it, regardless of who we're around, that's going to be beneficial in a selfish way, not even for other people. Because once you take that power away from everybody else and just own it all, there's nothing that's really going to get in your way at that point. I'm glad that you were comfortable enough to come up here and open up. Jalen as well. Now that I know you're a talker, I'm gonna be on you a little bit more when we're in person to see what you got on your brain. Because you know, the old folks, man, they start talking and there's no other room for nobody else to say nothing. So I'm gonna let them know young folks got something to say at the next meeting, man.
For sure.
All right, y'all. This is the G-Shit Podcast, where we focus on family, friends, finances, freedom, and our future, and everything else. This is the G-Shit Pod. Make sure y'all hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, enjoy anywhere you get your podcast. All righty.